My name is Mariko. You may know me from Twitter on that face and my thing. And I'm also your Catch the Jet staff before lunch. I'm also co-organizer of Green Jet. So it's awesome to have a speaking engagement in New York City and then get to meet all of the friends here. As mentioned, I led a JavaScript at a company called Scripto based in New York. And I make textile with JavaScript. And we'll dive into what that means. But first of all, I learned a lot of things this year. None of this existed a year ago. It literally started when I was thinking of applying to JSConf in US in May that I want to do this project. And I've been thinking about this a lot. But the first thing I've been thinking for a few years, and I did it this year, was that knitting is like coding. So I hand knit a lot. I learned it when I was 7 probably. And you know, I was like a light hobby knitter. Like I do scarf in the ear. And 1 year I was learning JavaScript. I was always in tech, but I wasn't a coder before. And I had a bit of time when I moved to US. So I took a time to actually teach myself JavaScript. And I noticed that knitting is really like coding, and coding is really like knitting. So the atomic unit of knitting, if you know how to knit, you know this, is two stitches, type of stitches. It's knit stitch and purl stitch. And knit stitch is the one that you pull the yarn from the back, and purl stitch is the one that you push the yarn from front. So two of them makes a very different face of textile, and combination of those are the pattern you see on your sweater. So the one on the green is a 2x2 ribbing, which is basically a knit and knit, purl, purl, repeated, that is usually used on the cap of your sweater or the neckline of the sweater. And the other side has a little more intricate pattern, but if you look at it closely, it's really just knit and purl stitch alternatively going on, shifting to the left one by one. And on top of that, the knitting instruction, when you want to knit sweater or something, and then you download or buy a pattern, in US, it comes like this. And to me, it's a lot like code. There's like variable, maybe? It's like a repeating number of like certain letter. And there's more explicit letter, or the word saying like until two stitches remaining, or repeat from start to the end. So I was like, okay, this is awesome. I can JavaScript this knitting process. So I wrote a little script that translates this code in JavaScript and output it graphically what the scarf would look like. And here, this is like the personal reason that I did this. So in Japan, knitting instruction comes in black paper, and you can see exactly which row you're on and how many stitches you must have, and then like what your output looked like. In US case, it's not. It's a little more abstracted into the letters. And so I wanted to see the outcome of the pattern before I knew. Yeah. So now that happened, and it was awesome. And I was thinking that it would be cool if I can do this more. And here's the thing I learned from that thinking, it'll be cool if I can do this more, is that reverse engineering something is a lot less scary, but only if you do it with your friends. So my case, the reverse engineering was that machine that's sitting there. So I discovered that there was a thing called knitting machine that was developed way before. The home use framework knitting machine, which has been around from 15th century or 14th century. Anyway, it's been around, and even this machine is from the 80s. So I can show you what this machine does. And a lot of people think that when I say knitting machine, it automatically knits. You still have to operate this. It's just there's two colors of yarn, and you can do the pattern based on those two colors, but you don't have to select it one by one. You don't have to choose it. The machine will do it for you. So the inside of this machine looks like this, and this is basically my reverse engineering of like what this machine is. It looks like this, and here's what it is, and that's it, very simple. It has a motherboard that has embedded program that talks certain protocol, and I'll get to that. And then the hardware side is a lot simple, that it has two sensors on the back. So remember in the video I was like moving the carriage back and forth? Those are the sensor that's sensing that the carriage has that sensor, and then you need it the one low. The middle of it is a loading encoder, which basically like a handle that's determining which direction that the carriage is moving and where that carriage position is. And then inside of the box, there's a thing called solenoids, which looks like this, there's like silver moving pins. When the electricity flows, the pin gets hold, and it will move the mechanics underneath, which is selecting the needles on my knitting machine bed. So it's a fun fact that even though my code is perfectly communicating with my machine, it only works up until this silver part. And what goes after is completely mechanic. So I have a blow goop machine in my closet right now that is completely working fine, like code-wise, like perfect. However, something got stuck. Some bug is in there that I cannot knit the pattern properly. So hacking on something from the past takes a lot of patience and then also a lot of debugging outside of computers, like cleaning up gears and oiling the chains, a lot of that. So when I said this is very simple, to me it's simple now, but it took me 10 months to understand this. And I want to show my process and then what I did to understand this thing. So first, starting with communicating to the embedded program. The embedded plug-on is designed, this machine was on sale in Davy, so it was before personal computer. So this was designed to talk to kind of like a special Nintendo type device that hooks to a your TV. You design it by moving these arrow buttons. And then you either save it to this cartridge here, or you save it to outside floppy disk drive. And you have you have a cable that is called serial port cable, which I don't know if you use it anymore. But the one that I have that came with this machine was serial to serial, because the floppy disk was serial, and then this machine is serial. Adafruit figured out how to do the serial to USB, so I have serial to USB cable here, which I can run an emulator on my machine so that I can talk from a more modern environment, which is computer. So there has been a lot of hack on this machine. There has been done in Python, there were done in Ruby, and I was like, why not JavaScript? JavaScript robotics happening, should be okay. So this is the sketch that I made when I was reading somebody's code, done in Python actually, to figure out what it's doing to design my node program. So here's how it works. So you need to convert whatever the image you want into 1-bit bitmap image, meaning you only use black and white color to represent that image. And I'll get to that, how I did it. And you need to turn those, essentially just a array of ones and zeros, because there's only black and white color, into binary file that looks like that in the corner. And then you send it to the machine via floppy disk emulator. So let's talk about 1-bit image. I use browser and HTML5 canvas. So like, here's what I learned from doing this. The computer graphic is just about painting dots, and that's it. Like, you know, you use the image processing fancy words, but it's just painting dots. I came to this because I didn't know anything about changing color on the image or changing the size. The only thing I knew, image processing, if I may say, was image tag. You know, that you change the size a little bit, and that's it. So I was like, how do I draw image with code? And luckily, I discovered that there's a thing called canvas in HTML5, where you can interact with pixel level. So in canvas, imagine, well, I didn't load the image on this code, but imagine that you have a canvas element in your HTML5, and then you loaded the image in there. In order to interact with that canvas, you have to make something called context. And in this case, I am making 2D context that lets me communicate XYZ position and color. But if you're doing something like GL, you put a different context. So this is the API layer to talking to this canvas element. The context has a bunch of methods that comes with it. One particularly useful is getImageData. And getImageData returns a whole bunch of array of numbers. And these numbers are a color and opacity of each pixel. So I padded the array a little bit to see it easily. So the top one would be XY coordinate 0, 0, color and opacity, and then next one will be X1, Y0, and you know, so on and so forth. So you can use this data to draw it again. So let's create an output canvas and create a context, because you need a context to talk to the campus element. And then you make a draw function. In my case, you just get a color from RGB and opacity color, create a color fill style, and then append a 1 pixel by 1 pixel rectangle into the canvas. So you're literally coloring a pixel one by one based on what the data came from. So it goes like this. You know, depending on the number, the color of the rectangle changes. In that case, you can intercept this draw function and do fun with it. So in this case, I invert the color each RGB value so that it inverts. So this is a draw invert function. And then I added more blue to the only blue value, and then I made it a blue R image. The other one is a grayscaling, and this is just one method of grayscaling, but taking a max value from RGB value and then repeating it again and again for the three times, it gets grayscale. So from this exercise, I learned that everything I need about pixels data is available in Canvas, and you can just change it to redraw it out of data. And on the process of that, I learned something called clumped array, which is apparently a thing called typed array in JavaScript. And when I learned JavaScript, I was told JavaScript's not typed. But there's apparently something called typed array, and it's called array, but it's not really. When you do array.isArray on typed array, it returns false. So like, I'm like really confused, but I learned a new thing that existed in browser that the canvas uses. And I wrote a blog post about what the heck is typed array, if you're curious. I use MuffinTin and OpenPath to explain what it is. But if you're curious, I have a blog post about it. So the second thing I learned from this is that how machine reads data. So now I have a data that processed into 1-bit image. I grayscale it and then desert it so that my array of image data is 1 and 0, and put it into binary file. And I use like a little node script to turn a 1 and 0 array into a hex value, which is a binary file. And I didn't like come up with this style. I was reading somebody's code that was done in Python and seeing a whole bunch of bitwise operator. And so this goes like this. Like, you have a bunch of array, split it into each of four, that gets turned into decimal number, but then it gets into another bit shifting, and then turn it into hex. Like, don't ask me about this. Like, I can't read this. But doing this exercise was like, oh my god, this is buffer. So those of you who have never interacted with Node buffer, buffer is a thing on document that says, buffer is used for binary when you deal with hardware. And I'm like, okay, great. And then when you do buffer output, it's like a whole bunch of numbers. And then I was so confused because, okay, binary, so ones and zeros, right? But then it returns like sevens and like E, and like it's like total hex. So I didn't know what it was and why it's called binary. But after doing this exercise, I learned that computer actually took binary, and that's the binary. So this is the current state of my setup. I have binary file, and floppy disk emulator is written in Python. This was already done in Python, and it was perfectly fine. And I'm pretty sure that we can emulate it in Node, but I don't have really time. So I'm just using a child process to run this Python script from my Node script. And it stayed this way for quite a while. I was making image on my browser, download it, and then put it onto my Node.js script to communicate it to this machine. However, there's something really cool called Electron.js that combines a Chromium browser and Node.js, put it into one platform. So right now, I'm in the process of making one single destination application where you can double-click to open, drag and drop the image, and then communicate it into this machine by click of buttons. Those hackers who made a lot of Python script, I actually talked to a few of them about like how they did it, and they were like, yeah, those clicky GUIs, and they didn't need it, like they love the command line, and that's like great. But I come from like front-end background, so like I really like to make bumps. So after doing this, I was like, I feel like I can be a computer now because I talk to hardware and send the data between hardware. So like, I can be a computer, right? And there's like a legit reason that I came up. This machine, how they select the needles and how it uses ones and zeros, came from a machine called the Jacquard Loom. And if the internet is working, yeah. So Jacquard Loom was developed in 18-something, I think. It used punch card to select each thread to make up a pattern. And this was the inspiration for Hermann Hollerith's tabulating machine, which was developed for US Census, which used punch card, which then that machine and company through acquisition became IBM, and that's why IBM has punch card computer, and a whole bunch of, basically this machine is a base of computer. And this machine here was also inspired by this machine. So I was like, okay, I can make punch card computer, and I did. So once the loop comes back, I have a 8-pin punch card machine that pushes the pin that makes a contact with the copper that's on the back that is translated into canvas animation and image that gets put into this machine. So I kind of made a computer this year. I'm proud of that. How this was made, it's actually also made in JavaScript because JavaScript is my language and only language that I use so far. Well, a little bit of Python too, but. So each pin, I use Johnny 5, which is JavaScript robotics framework. Each pin is treated as a button in Johnny 5. So every time the pin makes a connection or on hold state, it sends the message to my server. And every time that release it, again, it sends a message to my server. On my server side, it is also listening to this socket IO message, and every time the hold message comes in, it changes the array, the pattern array, into one, and then evaluate it. That means in my video case, I was making a textile pattern, but I can also translate that to ASCII and then change it to letter. So I can literally make a punch card that is a stack of code and lead it through my machine to execute the code. So as I mentioned that the punch card and socket IO and server running, I open sourced what was underlying base of this system, which is basically a Johnny 5 running socket IO code and then communicating to ExpressJS server and released it. One use case that I have is a Brooklyn.js event. We had a big event with CSS Conf this June, and I made this glowing bucket, which attendee can go into a website on their phone. There has 8 color buttons, and then they can send a message to change those colors. And here's a cool picture of me, at least, a cool picture of Nick Waldron, creator of Johnny 5. He never come hang out with Brooklyn.js. And I was like, Rick, I got to know him this year too, which was awesome. Rick, I made this thing in Johnny 5, you have to come. And he came and then danced and karaoke in front of my thing that was done by his library. I don't know. It was awesome. So the thing I learned from that, dealing with hardware, is that everything is just wave of electric current. And I realized this when I was talking to Francis Glatter, another contributor to JavaScript robotics, about this one. So after I got figured out machines, after I figured out how to make patterned knitted fabrics, I was really interested in making a machine that's entirely done by knitting. So I kind of investigated conductive yarn that transmits electricity midway. And I was talking to Francis about, Francis, so I made this thing that is like transmitting electricity a little bit, and then when you pull it, and the property gets really tight, the electric current that flows in between gets higher. And I wanna put the threshold in there so that it lights up LED. And like, what is that? And describing that way, he recommended to use a force sensitive resistor. So this exercise got me realized that, like, because like my punch card pins are not the hardware that came from Adafruit. My yarn sensor is not a part that you can order from SparkFun. And you know, if you have those parts, Johnny Five has an amazing documentation tutorial that you can just dive in, copy and paste, and then like done with that project for in like 5 minutes or even like 5 seconds. But even like if you make your custom hardware, you can still think in the way that everything is just a wave of electricity and then get to the parts that you need. So that was kind of cool. So this is the table that looks like most of the time, a little messier every weekend on my thing. And last year, none of this existed. In fact, this is like, command line, interacting with Node.js script in command line wasn't even a thing to me last year. Last year I changed the job around this time because I was told I wasn't a real engineer. And I changed that job again too. But this year I learned a lot and I feel like I'm like way more comfortable interacting with Node.js script, hardware, and I'm finally understand bits and computers. So, you know, my advice that if you're feeling like, oh, I'm just a person who's making buttons move nice, just find something you like in JavaScript all the time. Seriously, the JavaScript community here, especially and worldwide, are so welcoming and so supportive. And the fact that we have Node now, and Chakra being open sourced, and like many engines coming into Node. Node covers from hardware to server to front end. So if you're comfortable with JavaScript and you want to do something else outside of like a typical web application, you should try it. And I tried it and I learned a lot. So here's some links to my project that I did. The whole Electron app is coming soon. I haven't made it public yet, but it will be there. And thank you so much.